Father God, I thank you for the prayers of your people. And I thank you for the Spirit of Jesus who is here tonight. May Jesus be lifted up in all of his glory and power to save. And Father, I thank you for each person here tonight. And I know that no one is here by accident. You brought us here tonight that there might be a Pentecost in our lives. And so, God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would do for us what we could never do for ourselves. And that is to take us and radically change us for your glory. And Lord, I pray that you would take these frail lips. May your anointing be upon me. May I soon be forgotten, but may you always be remembered. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you noticed that many times we find ourselves praying what I call small prayers? It's like, dear God, help me to have a nice day. Amen. Small prayer. Or if things are getting a little more intense, dear God, help me to make it through this day. Amen. Or perhaps, dear God, you know I haven't studied, but help me not to flunk the test. Amen. They're small prayers. Now, I'm thankful tonight that God hears small prayers, aren't you? But I want to tell you, God wants us to pray bigger prayers. I don't mean longer and more complex prayers. I mean broader prayers, bolder prayers, more extraordinary prayers, more extravagant prayers. God wants us to pray differently. The prayer I want to share with you tonight is so bold, so extraordinary, so outside of the lines of how we normally pray that some might even call it dangerous. In fact, it is a dangerous prayer. It's a dangerous prayer for people who want to live small lives and think small thoughts and have small plans. It's going to explode that kind of life. God is going to break loose through this prayer. God is going to tear things down and build things up. It's a dangerous prayer that I want to share with you tonight. And it's embedded like a precious gem in a boring Old Testament genealogy. And if you don't have your Bible with you, you can look at the prayer card that was given to you on the way in, because we can read it together right off of that prayer card. But if you have your Bible, you can look with me in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10. You can say this prayer in about 10 seconds, but believe me, it is not small. It's massive. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10. I'm going to read the first phrase, and then I want you to just read the prayer with me as you find it on this card. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, read it with me, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." It only takes about 10 seconds to repeat that prayer. But that prayer is so radical, so big, so extraordinary, that I guarantee you, you should not even go near it if you want to stay status quo. Don't even try to pray that prayer if you're one of those people that just doesn't want to rock the boat. It's too dangerous for you. But if you have longed in your heart for something more, Have you? If you long for God to do something special, have you? Then I'm going to unpack this prayer. There are four requests in this prayer, and it's so powerful that by the end of tonight, lives will be changed for the glory of God. Well, let's look at the first request in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." The Hebrew means bless me greatly, bless me a lot, bless me in a tremendous way. Now the word bless has kind of become a little worn out. You know, we bless food and we bless people when they sneeze. Doesn't really mean that much anymore. But in the Bible, when you ask for blessing, you are asking for power. You are asking God to pour out supernatural favor, heavenly gifts upon you. When you looked up and said, "God, bless me," you are asking God to be God in your life and to change everything. Let me ask you, is that a safe prayer to pray? God, bless me. Bless me a lot. You say, who was this fellow that's praying this dangerous prayer for God to just pour out all of the blessings of heaven on him? Well, his name was Jabez. And that's about all we know about him. Except in verse 9, if you have your Bible, 1 Chronicles 4 and verse 9. For there it says, his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "I bore him in pain." Now, you know, in the Hebrew culture, that the name represented the life. And so there was something about Jabez that reminded mother of pain. And so she called him Pain. What a way to start your life. Talk about a negative life principle. Pain. I don't know whether she had a hard pregnancy, a difficult labor, some personal tragedy in her life, but somehow when he was born, she said, "This is going to remind me Pain." You can imagine him when he's playing with his friends. "Hey, what's your name?" "Pain." And as he got older, cute young lady walks up and says, "Hey, good looking, what's your name?" "Pain." I mean, that's enough to mess up your head. And Jabez could have accepted that negative expectation. And if he did, he would have prayed something like this: "God, help me not to be too much of a pain today." Or, God, "I know it's not going to be a good day, but help me to manage my pain today. Amen." But you see, Jabez, he doesn't want to live on the expectations of others. Are you listening? Jabez is not bound by what mama said, or what daddy said, or what the people said, or what the herd said where he grew up. He's not bound by those things. He's more interested in what God has to say. And so he says, "God, tell you what, my name means pain, but I want to break out of that. God, bless me, and while you're blessing, bless me a lot." That's a dangerous prayer. In the powerful little book that Bruce Wilkinson writes, on this text, little book called The Prayer of Jabez, he says it's kind of like this. You go up to the river of God's goodness and grace, and instead of taking a little cup and just kind of scooping a little blessing that hopefully will help you make it through the day, you run up to the river and you jump in. And you go up above your head and you say, "God, I'm just going to ask you to just wash over me." One of my friends shared with me the lyrics of a song by Stephen Curtis Chapman. It's called Dive. Have you heard it? Listen. I'm diving in. I'm going deep in over my head. I want to be caught in the rush, lost in the flow. In over my head I want to go. Listen, the river's deep. The river's wide. The river's water is alive. So sink or swim, I'm diving in. That's radical. God, I'm coming up to you and I'm saying, "Bless me. I'm going to dive in. I'm not just going to scoop a little bit and try to make it through the day. I'm going to say, God, bless me. And while you're blessing me, bless me a lot." You say, he's selfish. I mean, give me a break. Who does he think he is, walking up to God and saying, God, pour out all of the supernatural favors upon me? And you know, when I first read this story, I thought that myself. I thought, you know, I think this fellow is selfish. And then I remembered the words of Jesus. When Jesus said, listen, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, ask and what? Be given to you, know it, but do you do it? Seek and you will what? You know it, but do you do it? Knock and what? But do you do it? Jesus said the Father longs to give good gifts to those who? And Jabez says, all right, you got a deal, God. Bless me and bless me a lot. God says you're on. I don't know how God says it. Probably a little more sophisticated than that. You got a deal. Because when we start praying, not small prayers, but extraordinary prayers, then God is going to do something special. Do you believe that? I believe it. Now, we've only taken a few seconds. If that was the only part of the prayer, I tell you, that prayer is dangerous. It's dangerous to small lives, small thinking, small dreams. It's going to shake up your status quo. It's going to rock the boat. But that only took 3 seconds. Here comes the second request. And enlarge my territory. So what does that mean? Well, I suppose in an agrarian culture where there's agriculture, you know, to enlarge my territory would mean what? Give me some more acreage. Push the boundaries back. Give me a broader area of influence. Increase the impact of my life. That's what it's talking about. It's not just talking about land. But I want you to notice that when he asks this request, listen, he doesn't say, God, help me to enlarge my territory. Are you listening? God, help me to increase the impact of my life. He's not saying that. What is he saying? God, you do it. Now, I want to ask you a question. What do you think about asking an omnipotent God, no limits, he doesn't say expand them a little, no limits, no restrictions, no boundaries, God, you just come in here and blow everything wide open. Do you think that's a safe prayer to pray? I want to tell you, that's about as dangerous as it gets. God, just blow it wide open. You set the boundaries. You set the limits. And I want to tell you something. God takes a look at our limit book and he throws it away. That's scary. Someone's been praying the Jabez prayer over at the School of Religion, and it's messing things up. Someone ought to say amen. Amen. It's messing things up. Last year, we had a field school of evangelism. It's where the students go out and they help in an evangelistic meeting. We usually have 2 a year in the U.S. Somebody's been praying the prayer of Jabez, and God is expanding the boundaries. There are some people sitting here tonight who next year will be going to New Guinea to work with Mark Finley in the Acts 2000 meetings. There's going to be 16 people, probably some of them sitting here tonight, who are going to be sent out 2 by 2. That's God's way. 2 by 2. But they're not going to be sent out to Ultua. They're going to West Africa, to the country of Ghana, where God is going to raise up a revival among the people of God. There's a group of people that's going to Romania to work with the Quiet Hour to build up the people of God in that great country. I want to tell you something. Somebody threw away the rule book. Expand our boundaries. I was talking to someone in the care office today. We have over 80 student missionaries. Ken, wherever you are, we're not supposed to have that many. Who threw away the rule book? Expand our boundaries, Lord. Jessica Winters could have been just working on medical school. She's over in Kathmandu, Nepal, serving the Lord Jesus. Expand our boundaries, Lord. Nathan Nichols, sitting here today, could just work on next semester. God's sending him after Christmas to Mongolia. Expand our boundaries, Lord. Two of my dear friends, Braden and Joey Pewitt, They had several calls after they finished. Let's go safe. Let's go to Florida. Or let's go to Washington. God says no. Let's go to Cambodia. Let's give 10 years to an unreached people group. Let's blow the boundaries wide open. Amen. That's dangerous. I don't think you want to pray that prayer, do you? I think maybe you just want to keep it safe, right? Huh? Come on now. Shall we just keep it safe? I mean, do we want God to shake up our world that much? Well, Jabez said, yes, God, because my name means pain, but I'm not going to live there. What does your name mean? You say, I'm not going to live there either. God's got bigger plans than that for me. God's got bigger dreams than that for me. God's got a bigger life than that for me. I'm going to pray this dangerous prayer. God, that you would bless me greatly, and that you would enlarge my territory, the influence of my life, the impact of my life. You say, wow, what an incredible prayer. It's dangerous. That's only the first 5 seconds. Here comes the third request. It gets more dangerous yet. Some of you better just put the card away, because God might ask you to pray it tonight, and it's going to mess up your life. What do you think? Should we keep the card? Third request. That your hand would be with me. Now that doesn't sound too much, you know, that your hand would be with me. But I want to tell you, that's the most dangerous request of all. You see, once you realize that God is just pouring out, I mean, how many blessings can He pour out? What does Malachi say? Open the windows of heaven so there's what? Not even room enough to what? He can wash you away with His blessings. And then you see Him just knock down all the boundaries, and the world becomes your mission field. And you go, whoa, God, this is way out of my league. God says, it's okay. I'm going to put my hand upon you. I'm going to put my hand upon you. This is not some regular hand. This is the hand of Almighty God. Sovereign Lord. Creator. Righteous right hand. God, lay your hand upon me. Book of Acts chapter 11 says that God laid His hand upon the early Christians, and many believed and turned to God. Miracle. The book of Ezekiel says the hand of the Lord was laid upon Ezekiel, and he was caught up in the spirit and taken to a valley full of dead bones, and God made them live. The book of 1 Kings says that the hand of God was laid upon Elijah, and he was so empowered that he ran in front of Ahab's chariot. But you better watch out if you pray for God's hand, because he ran right to the place where Jezebel said, you're so powerful, I want you dead. Bible says the hand of the Lord was upon John the Baptist. The hand of the Lord, that he thought more about what God thought than what people think. Are you listening? The hand of the Lord was upon him. He didn't think about his position and his influence when he walked up to Herod Antipas and he said, you are living with your brother's wife and it's not right. The hand of the Lord was upon him, and he ended up in a dungeon. And finally, he was martyred. You want to pray that prayer? You say, no, I don't want to pray that prayer. I'm going home. I'm going to just keep things safe. Maybe we can just pray, God, help me to make it through the day. Or God, help me to survive one more day. You want to keep praying like that? 2 years ago, a couple of students, UT Memphis Dental School, faced the challenge of their lives. One of them was a graduate of Southern Adventist University. Actually, one of my students. And they had gone 4 years through college and 4 years through dental school. And they were coming to the last exam, their state license exam, where they did all of their clinicals for their dental school. It was the last big exam. Now that exam, always in the past, had been held at that school Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. But that year, it was changed to Friday, Sabbath, and Sunday. Now you think about that for just a minute. How many years have they been preparing for this exam? 8 years. So what are you going to do? There was a written exam on Friday morning, and then the clinicals began after lunch on Friday. There was 4 hours on Friday, 8 hours on Sabbath, Saturday for them, and 4 hours on Sunday. What are you going to do? Any math people here? What's the percentage there on Sabbath? 50% of the exam. I want to suggest to you that that's a good time not to pray small prayers. I want to suggest to you that that's a wonderful time to pray a dangerous prayer. Oh, that you would bless me greatly and increase the impact of my life, enlarge my territory, and let your hand be upon me. Well, they went to the dean. You're supposed to do what you can do. The dean said, we can't do anything. They went to the state. The state said, it's set. We can't do anything. And those two young men said, the real test is not the state board. The real test is whether we'll honor the Lord or not. They got it right, didn't they? And so they went there on Friday. They took the written exam. And after lunch began 16 hours of clinical exam time. They took 4 hours till the beginning, the end of the Friday when Sabbath was coming, and they packed up and they went home. Guess where they were Sabbath morning, folks? They were in church worshiping the Lord their God, honoring Him as Creator and Redeemer, resting in His grace on His Sabbath day. Sunday morning came, and they came back. They took the last 4 hours, and they went home. The rest of this story is stranger than fiction. They waited for the test. And they said, really, Lord, for the results. They said, Lord, it really doesn't matter what the results are, because either way, we're going to follow You. Sounds like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Either way, Lord. And the results came back. Ronnie opened them, and he passed the exam. Three of you said amen. Amen. He passed the exam. Amen. 50% of the time he gave it to the Lord as an offering of praise. And he passed the exam. Went to Nick. Nick was number one in clinicals for the entire program at UT Memphis. Number two in the class overall. Man of prayer, honored God, and Nick failed the exam. You say, God, where were you? I prayed that your hand would be upon me. But I want to tell you this evening, it's not for you to tell God how to put His hand on you. You don't know. You're not that wise, and neither am I. God, you just put your hand on me. Your timing, your way, for your glory, that's all. Well, a few days later, God honored Nick. Failed the test. A few days later, Nick was honored by the entire dental school as the number one student and was given the general dentistry award for UT Memphis. He says, it's kind of strange. Flunked the exam and passed the test. You say, but he still failed the exam. And do you know what? This fellow who was number one in clinicals had to go back with an instructor and work through a whole bunch of mock boards. You know what mock boards are? Because they didn't want him to fail it again. But you see, they didn't understand. The Lord had what? He had His hand on him. Because at those mock boards, Nick met an instructor that he really hadn't known before. And this lady, who was supposed to prepare their number one student to take his boards again, figure that one out, got a phone call from somebody in Chattanooga, Tennessee. A dentist looking for an outstanding dentist to join his practice. Are you following me? And they gave a name. The person, Dr. Monin, happened to be the dentist. He gave a name, and the instructor said, "Well, I really don't know anything about this person, but I've got an amazing person right here. Number one in his class." Can you guess where Nick's working right now? I talked to him on Thursday. I said, "Nick, how'd you feel?" He said, "Well, let me tell you the rest of the story. I go to take the boards in June, and guess when they scheduled them again?" Friday, Sabbath, and Sunday. Never did it before. Satan's like, "Let's try that again." Excuse me, I'm not saying the state board people are Satan. You know what I'm saying. But you know, Satan works, doesn't he? And God says, "No, let's try it again, Nick." And Nick went in Friday till 5 o'clock, went home, went to church on Sabbath. Are you listening? Spent 8 hours honoring the Lord as God, Creator and Redeemer. Went back on Sunday 4 more hours and got one of the highest grades in the group. He told me, he said, it wasn't a pleasant thing to fail an exam. Knowing how smart he was, I don't think he'd ever failed one before in his life. But he said, "I'm glad that I decided to honor God. The hand of the Lord was upon him." Well, we've taken 7 seconds of the prayer. Normal prayer? Safe prayer? "God, bless me in an incredible way. Blow down the boundaries and expand them exponentially. And let the hand of the living God be upon me." But you must not leave without hearing the fourth request. You must not leave until you have heard it. It is so important. The Word of God says in 1 Chronicles 4 and verse 10, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me." Number 4, "that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." You see, I want to tell you something if you didn't know already. I want to tell you that when you decide to pray this dangerous prayer, you become a serious enemy of the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. You say, "Well, Satan's not bothering me that much now. I wonder why." Things are going pretty smoothly now. I wonder why. But some of you tonight are going to pray a very dangerous prayer. "God, be God in my life. Let it be now. Blessings, massive blessings, boundaries exponentially extended, the hand of the living God upon me." You had better pray that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. How do I know that Satan is going to set his sights on us? Simple. Simon Peter, when he left everything to follow Jesus, Satan went after him. He intensified his efforts, and he will for you. Jesus said to Simon, "Simon, Satan has sought to what? To sift you like wheat, to bring you down." And by the way, you don't even need to read Luke 22. You can just look in the mirror and know it's true, can't you? You know it's true. Even when you try just for a little to honor God, what happens? Trouble. All hell breaks loose. Satan's after you like never before. You know why? Because he knows now that you've taken a stand for God and God is expanding the impact of your life and the hand of God is upon you, that if he brings you down, he can cause pain. He can cause you pain. He can cause those who love you pain. He can cause the Church of God pain. He can cause the heart of God Himself pain. pain. And so Satan intensifies his efforts, and Jabez says, I'm not going to live up to those old expectations. I don't want to cause pain. I'm just praying, Lord, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Bruce Wilkinson, again in this powerful little book written on this text called The Prayer of Jabez, he shares a time when he was flying back from Chicago. Have you ever felt in your life a time that you just felt so depleted that you were quite vulnerable? You know what I'm talking about? Anybody? You know, you just have given so much and given so much and you realize that you're depleted. And Bruce realized that. He had been up there for a whole week holding meetings at Moody Bible Institute. He just felt so depleted. And so he prayed the prayer of Jabez and he said, and God, just keep me from evil. Keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Went to the airport. Got on the plane. Had one of those cherished middle seats. Don't you love those? Here he's got a long trip home, so he sits down, you know, in the middle seat. And he's hardly hit the seat when the man on his left takes out a pornographic magazine. Bruce is sitting there. Lord, I thought we had a deal. I asked you to keep me from evil, Lord. I told you I'm feeling weak. Before the plane has made it to the end of the runway for takeoff. In fact, they're still there before they even get that far. The fellow on the right picks up his briefcase, opens it up, you guessed it, and pulls out a pornographic magazine. Bruce closes his eyes and says, Lord, keep me from evil. Listen, just because you pray this dangerous prayer does not mean Satan isn't going to bother you anymore. You're dangerous to him now. I say hallelujah. He's going to cause his kingdom trouble now. I say hallelujah. He's scared of you now. I say hallelujah. But he says, I don't like that. Lord, keep me from evil. And he was still praying when the fellow on the right swore. I won't tell you what he said, but he goes, blankety blank. Something like that. Rolled up the pornographic magazine and stuffed it, put it away. And Bruce opens his eyes like, why'd he do that? You know? While he's trying to figure out what happened over here, the fellow over here swore out loud. Blankety blank. And he stuffed his pornographic magazine away. I wanted to ask you something. Is God able to keep you? When you feel like the temptation is too severe, pray the dangerous prayer. When you feel like you say, God, you know, I want to live for you, but my flesh is crying out, pray the dangerous prayer. Amen. God, keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Bruce said they were somewhere over Indiana flying when he broke out laughing. And the two guys sitting on either side said, what's so funny? And he said, you'd never believe it if I told you. I want to tell you something. God is able. You pray that dangerous prayer, young lady, and God is able to keep you. You don't tell me what you've done in the past. You pray that dangerous prayer and God can tear down the strongholds of the enemy. Yes, He can. We've only taken 10 seconds. Oh, that You would bless me indeed. I mean, like God, break loose. And enlarge my territory. I mean, the impact of my life. Just let it loose, Lord, for the glory of Your name. He says, you want me to let it loose if it would cost you your life? I mean, are you trying to make a name for yourself or are you trying to make a name for Him? For Your glory, Lord. And let Your hand be upon me. Oh, Lord, the hand of God. What an awesome thought. And keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. The Bible says that God granted the prayer of Jabez. But this is not a way to go Jabez night. This is your appointment with your destiny. You listening to me? Not your earthly destiny. They say, well, you know, that's nice, but you'll never make it. Not what people say. Well, God just helped me to manage my pain. Oh, no. This is your appointment with a God-given destiny. I've been praying this prayer for about 3 weeks. And it's messing up my life. I don't know what God's going to do, but I'm jumping into the river. I don't swim that well. Let Your hand be upon me, Lord. Keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Pain to myself, pain to those who love me and have prayed for me. Pain to my church, pain to You, Lord. Pain to the unbelievers who would look and say, man, I thought there was something to that. Maybe not. God, keep me from that. I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer. And I realize that some of you might not want to pray it. That's okay. This is dangerous. Some of you might say, well, I'll pass on this one. I'll just try to manage my life, keep things stable. But I believe that there's a man here tonight who has the courage to pray this prayer. Am I right? Amen. Men, am I right? Amen. I believe there's a woman here tonight who has the courage to pray this prayer. Am I right? Amen. So what are we waiting for? Why wait for Pentecost when it can happen tonight? But I want to tell you, I have a more specific appeal. Because at some point, I'm going to invite anyone who wants to pray this prayer to kneel and pray. But I have a more specific appeal. We've been praying that as a result of the meeting tonight, that God would raise up 50 Jabez prayer groups on this campus. How many did I say? You say, that's outrageous. I mean, that sounds like way outside of the lines. And in order for those 50 prayer groups to happen, people who will covenant to meet together each day till the end of this semester and to pray this dangerous prayer, God is going to raise up 50 leaders among you tonight. God is going to lay a hand on you tonight. We're going to sing a song and you're going to get up out of your seat because God lays His hand on you, you're going to come forward and say, I will commit to find at least two other people, and we will pray this prayer every day. If you have to do it by phone, but I'd love you to get together and to pray this prayer. I want you to let God unleash His power on this campus. And once those people that respond to the call to be a leader, a prayer group leader, we're praying for 50. Once you've come forward, I want to invite you to kneel when you come forward. And then I'm going to invite anyone in the congregation that wants to pray this prayer with them to just slip to your knees right where you are. And the prayer is right here. I have no idea what's going to happen as a result of the... Well, I do have some idea. But I can hardly dream what it's going to be like when we let God be God in our lives. Are you ready for that tonight? You say, no, I'm not ready, but I'm willing. So we're going to sing a song again. I love you, Lord. And while we sing that song, we'll sing it through several times. Don't just get up because you think maybe I'm supposed to do that because I'm a nursing major, or I'm a pre-med. By the way, I'm praying God would raise up people from Talge and from Thatcher, all the way from Hickman to Brock. I'm praying all the way along and across the road and in the community that God is going to raise up people, lay His hand on you, that you'll become a prayer group leader. And let's see God work. We're going to sing now. And you listen to what God wants you to do. And then we'll all kneel together who would like to pray. And we'll pray the prayer of Jabez. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you. Forgive me for my small thinking. We don't have 50 people here. We must have 100 people. Maybe more. You couldn't get out of the row. But every one of you has a sacred work. Right after the prayer, when we close this service, I'm going to ask you to stay and meet with me for just a few moments. Because God is going to do something so special, and by God's grace, you'll be a part of it. take the card if you would. And I don't ask everybody to pray this prayer. But some of you who are still in your seats may want to slip to your knees right now. And if you can't, just bow your heart before the Lord your God. And we're going to pray this prayer one phrase at a time to the Lord our God. And we'll pray it in Jesus' name. Read it with me. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. Yes, Lord. Yes. And enlarge my territory. Expand the impact of our lives, Lord. Break down the barriers, those things that held us back in the past. Take them down, Lord. That your hand would be with me. Almighty hand of God, rest upon them and upon me. And that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Yes, Lord. Keep us by the power of your name, that we may not cause pain to ourselves, to our loved ones. Most of all, that we may not cause pain to you. Jesus, you loved us so much, you left heaven for us. You're seated now at the right hand of the Father. I know you're happy tonight. Holy Father, I know you're happy tonight. Holy Spirit, I know you are happy tonight. As your people, as we humble ourselves before you. And we thank you that just as the Word of God says, that the Lord granted the prayer of Jabez. So may it be for every man and woman in this church tonight, and everyone that may hear this message and kneel in her apartment or in his office or outside in the woods and kneel down and pray this dangerous prayer. And God, may it not end today. Every day, may we be bold and pray the dangerous prayer. And Lord, as we go now to our places of rest, may no honor and glory or attention go to any person here except you. You alone are worthy of our praise. And may it be said of every man and woman here, as it was said of Jabez, that they are more honorable in their generation. Thank you, Lord, for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This special presentation has been brought to you by American Cassette Ministries. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2000, American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. For additional cassettes by this speaker or for a free catalog of other American Cassette Ministry cassettes, please contact us as follows. To order toll-free in the United States and Canada, dial 1-800-233-4450. For international calls, dial 717-652-7000. For fax orders, dial 1-717-652-9050. Our internet email address is info@americancassette.org. Our entire current catalog, plus many other items, are available online from our secure website, www.americancassette.org. We accept MasterCard, Visa, and Discover cards. Or you may simply write to American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17108 in the United States of America. Answering the heart cry of the faithful for 25 years, American Cassette Ministries requests your continued prayers and financial support as we strive to provide you with the finest, most powerful spiritual messages available. Our one purpose in ministry, to prepare you and your loved ones to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.